The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and the Dripping JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime World Daily. We have got a sorry looking bunch today. Like, we're trying to find some pre-show energy here, and it just ain't there. I mean, guys, we're not even 2 weeks into the tournament. I know we're watching a lot of football right now. I know Jimmy had late shift last night. I know Dubsy's heading out for five more days in China after this podcast. I know Craig's been doing a million things. I know we're all tired, but come on, let's lift the energy. It's a World Cup.
Well, why don't we get our morning Footy Prime workout in? Okay, everybody. Arms up. Actually, you know what always gets us going? Let's do a quick one of these. Everybody, let's go.
DJ Mello D.
Oh my God, that's much better.
We now know what JC is going to do in his retirement. He's going to go down to one of those resorts in Cancun and get people to do stuff. Let's put this on.
Water aerobics.
Yeah, I'll be doing the water
standing aerobics. On the side of the pool.
I just hate those people. I hate the people that actually acquiesce to the demands more. Like, don't do the water aerobics. You annoy me. Anyway, it's not important.
Yeah.
Cloud.
What's that, Dubs?
I was just going to say, the football is not the problem. You said we're 2 weeks into this World Cup. Come on, a little bit of energy. The football is not the problem. It's life around the football that's the problem. You still have to manage that.
That's true. That's true, Amy Walsh. Yeah. We have Craig Forrest here. We have Dan Wong. We have Jim Brennan. And we have Jeff Cole. We're going to have Jeff. Jesus, it's going to be a good show today.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have Trent McClellan on later today. A Canadian comic genius. Someone you know from this hour's 22 minutes. A huge, huge footy fan. Give us perspective on all things World Cup. But today, it's another great day today after a great day yesterday. I keep saying that, but every day is great so far. We have Portugal against Uzbekistan, which may be in the books by the time you hear this. Colombia, Congo, England back at it against Ghana, and Panama, Croatia, as these groups begin to make a little bit more sense and who people might be playing in what round afterwards. So yeah, it's getting very interesting. Yesterday, guys, was a record-breaking day. Can't say we're surprised by it with both Leo Messi and Kylian Mbappe and Erling Haaland all in action, and they all did it again. So what they're going to do throughout this tournament. But we got to start by talking about Leo Messi. I don't know what more we can really say about him other than he's a really good footballer. Craig, I mean, is this the greatest era ever in football? Like, era as far as who we get to see play on a regular basis? Be it Messi, be it Ronaldo. I mean, recency bias gets in the way sometimes, right?
Yeah, it does, of course. And yeah, to put some context into it, obviously with the expansion of 48 teams, we're going to see some teams get battered and be more susceptible to goals, extra round of games, all these different things like this. But yeah, it's pretty special when you're looking at these players doing it at this level. And what Haaland's the leading goal scorer for Norway now, and Mbappe is the top French goal scorer. Kane's equaled Gary Lineker's World Cup record. And on it goes.
That's right. Six. Yeah, six in 90. He got six goals, right? For the Golden Boot.
Then yeah. Yeah.
Two games in, that's what Messi's. Well, he's got five now, hasn't he?
There's only been three players ever hit double figures at the World Cup. We might see that happen.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, and that might be a few players getting that.
Mm-hmm. It should be.
Yeah.
Before the group stage is done, which is mental. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, who's going to? Well, no, maybe we'll get BetMGM up. Let me do this, and we'll see who the favorite is now for the Golden Boot, because it's going to still be between. I mean, those three guys. Kane's playing today. Messi, I'm assuming, still the favorite. But I mean, I wouldn't put anything past Mbappe at this point to keep doing this. I mean, do you rest, Jimmy? If you're Scaloni, do you even think about resting Messi for this third game?
Yeah, you do. I think you're safe. You're through. You know, keep in mind he's what 38 now. He's going to be 39. There's going to be a time where you've got to give him a little bit of a break, the rest, and this would be the next game that he would, in my opinion, be taking a little break. Do you know, I just like the when someone tried to do the comparison to Messi and Mbappe, was like, no, I'm nowhere even close to this guy. And when you look at Messi, you got to think the man has, what is it, over 916 goals for club and country. He's won 10 La Ligas, 4 Champions League. He's won an MLS. He's won 2 Ligue 1s, a World Cup, 2 Copa Americas. The guy is an absolute legend of a man. He's a god, and he's still scoring goals at 3. He's going to be 39 next week? Like, it's ridiculous how this guy just keeps going.
But he does keep going, right? And he's got Jordan next. Dubs, if you're Leo Messi, what's right for the team is to rest him. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest, right? They're going to probably beat Jordan. Although Jordan, given credit last night, they played hard. But they're going to beat Jordan. And even if they don't beat Jordan, it doesn't matter. If you're Leo Messi, though, you see all these records, more records, and he's driven by success, this guy. Do you insist on playing? We know who would insist on playing. And I don't want to make this about Ronaldo. Mm-hmm. But we know he would insist on playing. Messi's got a similar drive. Does Messi, though, do what's right for the team or what's right for Leo Messi?
I think it's less about that decision, whether it's right for the team or right for the individual, and more about projecting long-term. Like, he's able to see the big prize, where I think sometimes, you said not to do the comparison, but I'm about to do it. Ronaldo is blinded by it. That's all he sees. And then he isn't able to see the long game, I think. So I think there's the right balance that's being struck. Like, I think, with Cara yesterday, Cara Lang was on speaking about the U.S. men's national team as well as our own men's national team here in Canada. And what Poch has to balance now, or any team like in Argentina who has it all sewn up, they're going to be top of the group going into that extra game. So that's something else you have to manage, right? The extra knockout game is the rhythm of everybody. So like the U.S., I know going through, if he sits a lot of those guys on yellows who are pretty integral to the way the team plays and to their success, then it's 12 days before they play again, projecting forward to the round of 32. So I don't know if it's as big a number for Argentina, but that's something as a coach that you're very cognizant of. And I think that's more front of mind than thinking about records. But what certainly is his priority is repeating as holders. Because that's not been done till what, like the 1960s, I think. Like, the holders have a very difficult time repeating. So I think that is Messi's goal. That's Scaloni's goal. That's the squad's goal. So it's, how do we keep this guy fresh? How do we keep him, you know, as the god or the demigod, like Jimmy's talking about? Like, we want this guy at his absolute best. So if it means taking a seat for match day 3, then you do it.
We're going to get some Canadian perspective now, I think. So before we bring our guest on, JC, let's introduce our wonderful sponsor for all things Canadian soccer on this very podcast.
It's the World Cup Watch Canada, brought to you by Timothy Hortons. It's game on with Tim. This message is brought to you by Tim Hortons at participating restaurants in Canada for a limited time.
Introducing Tim's Taste of the Globe, a limited time squad of globally inspired Timbits and iced cap flavors.
And trust us, this lineup came to play.
We're talking a Brazilian lime cheesecake Timbit,
a French chocolate creme brulee Timbit,
an Italian cappuccino Timbit,
and a Canadian fireworks Timbit,
plus a Mexican caramel churro ice cap that absolutely deserves a chant.
It's game on at Tim's with the new Timbits and ice cap flavors from around the globe.
Try them all today.
I will.
I know you will. Now back to the show.
Trent McClellan is a legend himself of Canadian getting the comic scene. This hour is 22 minutes. Right in the middle, too, of the Be Nice tour. Get your tickets now. Trent, the showmate, how you doing?
Good, Buzz. How are you? How are you guys?
Doing great. Good. Let me ask you, right? We're doing Leo Messi and old people. And should they be rested? No, you're not an old person.
You brought me on. You start with an age question right out the gate, James.
Well, I'll be going to wonder otherwise.
It's 7:13 a.m. here in Calgary. Okay? You think I was up for 4 hours already? Like, hey, here's someone who can talk about old people. Hey.
You were icing your face.
What's going on here? Over here, looks maxing. And this guy's, what are you talking about, James? Like, we have bringing in an elderly expert here.
Well, you've been on your walk and you've fed the pigeons already, haven't you? I know you have.
That's right. I've already driven the kids out of the yard with a stick. I'll tell you about age, man. A bunch of guys here in the neighborhood gather every Thursday for an hour just for a kickabout. And I haven't played since July of last year. And man, I am hobbling around. My wife's like, do you get paid to play? Like, why would you be going to the soccer? And just, I'm like, oh, it's fun. It's good. I love so much. She's like, you can't walk. You can't do stairs. What do you do? I'm like, yeah, no, it gets better every couple of days. So I can only imagine if I'm, I think, man, if you're messy, I'll tell you who I feel bad for is the people who buy tickets. Who finally got Argentina World Cup tickets. And then you're going to go and go, is he playing? Oh no, he's resting. He's down there in a tracksuit eating a hot dog. I'd be like, oh God, this is crazy. But I do understand it. You know, if you don't need to risk him, why do it? He is getting up there. I mean, he's not the age I am, but he's getting up there. So you got to be smart. You got to think long-term for the tournament.
I tell you what, Trent, you don't look old. But your wife sounded old the way she was speaking there.
Wow. Wow. Never met my wife, Jimmy, and you're going to go there right at the gate?
I know. You went after your wife, Trent. What's that about?
voice just sounded old.
She's 80.
Play soccer? You're like, what's he doing? What's he going to do? Yeah, that's terrible. It's terrible for me and terrible for my family, and it's going to be a long day for me now. So thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate it.
Well, listen, we've all got our wife voice, right, we use when talking about our wives. Usually it's a whiny voice. In my case, it's not so much an old voice. So. Hey, Dubs, when JP's doing an Amy voice, what kind of voice is it? God.
My husband went after me this morning for wearing a Def Leppard t-shirt. He's like, you're not wearing that out of the house, are you? It's like, it's one of the first albums that I bought. Like, why can't I? He's like, no, you need to not wear that. I'm like, okay.
You like this. Don't worry, Dubs. It's armless.
Well done. Very
thank well God. Done. To thank you.
No need for one arm. Woman hysteria.
Oh, well done. See, we're comics here. We're the comics here.
Wow, I've walked into the right room. This is on fire right now.
That was good. Fire. Put your hands up in the air.
Oh wow! You want to talk about dating yourself? All right, let's put them down. Right. Let's put them down. No there, kidding. Let's lower them here.
We're going ahead.
All right, Trent. So listen, are we overreacting here, or is this World Cup the greatest thing to ever happen to Canada?
Oh, I think it's the greatest thing ever. Yeah, that's why I didn't understand the pushback about Jesse Marsh's reaction to stuff. Yes. I was like, we're at a World Cup, man. We're hosting a World Cup in Canada, and we just pounded a team 6-0. Yeah, you're going to celebrate a bit. I'll tell you a story. You guys got a minute?
We do.
So anyway, I was on a cruise ship once against my will. Now, I've only taken one cruise in my life. It was a wedding. Had to go to it. So I go to this on this cruise ship. And they had a little 4-on-4 soccer court, you know? So by day three, there's been plenty of rum and cokes. I mean, I've been buffeting it like something sick, you know? I've been out of control at sea, basically, is what's been happening. So I feel guilt. I'm like, hey, I should do some kind of cardiovascular thing and join in this soccer game, right? And there's people from all over the world playing. So I go out there and I play. And look, I'm no D-Row, okay? I'm going to put that out there. I'm not a D-Row, okay? Right off the top. Okay, but I can hold my own. You know, I'm out there playing. So we play for about an hour. The game ends, and some guy from another country goes, where are you from? And I go, Canada. And he goes, Canada? They play soccer in Canada? So I throw this guy off the ship. I throw him off the ship. He lands in the middle of the Mediterranean. I assume still there, bobbing. I have no idea. But I just, it just smacked of the arrogance and the dismissive nature people have when they talk about Canada and football at the same time. And I'm sure everyone who's played the game at some point, right? You've all felt that. You got that snub, kind of a second class citizen in the game kind of thing. And I think Jesse Marsh has tapped into all that. He knows Canada as a country has taken it in the teeth for the last bunch of years from the U.S. administration. In the football scene, we've had it happen for a long time. And so it was time to come out and go, man, we're done. We're done being nice. We're done. We're here. We've arrived, and it's going to be a tough out. And I think that's where all that came from. So I'm like, blow it up. He should have rode a horse around BC Place. I would have rode a horse and kicked back and gone mad. I'd still be there. I'd still be going around going, six. We had six. Like, I'm like, dude, it's a World Cup. Like we're supposed to be reserved and kind of, happy to be. We already did that. We did that at Qatar. We learned. We were happy to be there. It's time. It is time to kick the door open.
Yeah, 100%. I love it. And we watched Egypt celebrate their win in Vancouver two nights ago. Their first ever World Cup win. And as if they won the World Cup. No one's whining about them. You know, everyone's saying, oh, what a great scene that is. Look at the Egyptian fans and staff and coaches running around the pitch with a flag. You know, like, good for them. Like, this is a World Cup. I think nationalism's okay now and again. Be proud.
Exactly. And I think people are used to Canada being more reserved. So we're kind of not where they think we should be anymore. They turn their head and we're somewhere else now. You know, that's what it is. They're not used to us beating our chest going like, yeah, we're actually quite good at this. And we're at home. We're putting a show on. And I like it. I like the upstream nature of it. And I think it's time. This country's never felt more patriotic, I don't think. When you walk around, when you hear people talk, the noise in BC Place, I don't know if I've ever heard that. It's as loud as a sporting event as I've ever heard in Canada. NHL playoffs, anything. It was electric. I had friends who were there who didn't invite me. And, they're there. The irony of that? So Thursday we get together. I play soccer, guys, on Thursdays. I get together with a bunch of – oh, my memory's gone. I told you the story. So anyway, I show up with my stick and I roll around. And they all had tickets to go to this game tomorrow, you know? And I'm like, oh, I didn't know you guys were going to Vancouver for the game. Did anyone email me about that? No. So anyway, the boys are all going. I'm not going, but thanks for bringing that up, guys.
Sorry. No, but yeah, I think part of it is also the fact that most of the hate and vitriol is coming from the South. It's coming from the States. Yeah. A lot of ex-players are whining and complaining about Jesse Marsh and American, which makes it even sweeter, right? Yeah. If it was England or Italy or whoever it is, you know, France, it'd be okay, whatever. You're just Euro snobs anyway. But the fact that the Americans are upset is fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's so good. Also, I feel like Jesse Marsh is like, hey, you didn't want to date me, so I found someone else to date, and it's going really well. I really like this new person I'm dating, and we might be together for a long, long time. And they're like, well, what about? Do the wife was you? Hey, but what about? I thought you liked me. Don't you want to date me? No, I don't want to date you anymore. Actually, I realize I have a better situation down here. So there's a bit of that too, I think.
Yeah, Trent, I was wondering there. You know, Canada is new to the World Cup. This is only our third appearance. Who did you cheer for during the World? You're a big footy fan. Who did you cheer for other nations while Canada was finding its way?
I think I cheered for England, obviously, right? You were, you know, that's the only league you really had access to back in the day, right? I mean, you guys remember, you know, Graham Leggett and the soccer news and all that stuff. I was like, oh, I was tapped into, you know, the British game quite a bit. So I was cheering for England quite a bit and would feel the heartbreak. But I remember thinking like, my God, what would it be like if Canada actually got to the World Cup? How amazing would that be? And I remember 86, because Canada qualified for the 86 World Cup. Like the last game they played to qualify was in St. John's, Newfoundland, right?
That's right.
So I remember going like, my God, that's just like in the province, they're qualifying for this game. So I thought every 4 years, this is going to be an automatic thing. We're back. We've qualified. We're in another World Cup. And who would have thought you would have to wait that many years to get back to one? So, yeah, I was quite the England fan. And I remember that 86 World Cup and like Michel Platini and all those players. So it was great. I remember Bruce Wilson had a soccer camp in Newfoundland shortly after the World Cup. And it, dude, it was like a beetle showed up. We're like, it's Bruce Wilson. Bruce Wilson's here. We're getting free t-shirts. We're getting free t-shirts. Bruce Wilson's here. Like, it was insane, dude. It was so cool. It was awesome.
Well, my follow-up is you've just aged yourself. Are you taking your Canadian pension plan early? Or are you pushing it back a little bit?
Seems to be some technical difficulty here. I'm starting to...
But don't do that to us, please. I'll tell you the issues.
I know. We really do have them.
Obs and what? Yourself.
Thank you.
Trent, don't worry. Listen, Wong is older than you are, I think. So yeah, you know, all these this aging jokes. I mean,
do you want to know how old I am? I'll lay it down right now, guys. Mm-hmm. I got no problem with it. Okay? I'm 53. I'm 53, yeah, guys. Good. Okay? Yeah. So
good age.
We're pretty close.
Still walking. Yeah.
Apart from Jimmy around. And Dubs.
I chew my own food. I chew my own food.
Yeah.
That's how I do it.
Yeah.
I'll chew my own food. I don't care.
Well, it's black, don't crack. And I made up for Asians, beige don't age. So there's my,
don't age.
Nice. Thank you.
I'd get that on a sweatshirt and quick, my man.
Thank you. I've got a whitish shite. I got that.
But you got your bucket hat. You look great in the bucket
hat. Yeah, this doesn't age me at all wearing this, does it?
You just need zinc on your nose now.
Yeah, that's right.
You look like you're on the Oasis reunion tour. Like you should be.
Yeah, exactly.
You should be exactly tuning guitars backstage or something.
It's funny, you talk about, Bruce Wilson being a Beatle, but there's been a bit of a thing with the media here the last little while when there's always a question to these players. How is it, you're still walking around town and not being recognized? These guys are coming from Europe where they can't do that. And they're all kind of saying, well, we are actually getting recognized now. We are. I think, who was it? Moise Bambido yesterday said, we get swarmed in certain places, which is, I love to hear. And he's laughing about it, right? But that's progress. And Jesse Marsh calls it, this movement we're in with Canadian soccer. I'm doing a little video on it today. This movement began for me in 2019 when Canada beat the States at BMO Field 2-0. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, actually, this is a really good men's team we have here suddenly. There is still that concern, though. Is it going to be just a moment? And we talked about it on yesterday's show a little bit, because we have got this, a bit of a chip on our shoulders, Canadian soccer fans, and paranoia, I think, is what it is, that, man, it all could go horribly wrong. This is too nice. We're waiting for the other shoe to drop here. Shoe to drop, is that right? Sounds about right. What do you think, Trent? Is it bigger than a moment, this? Is this going to have a legacy?
I think so, and I think so because of social media. Like, it's just a different landscape in terms of players having their own individual accounts. So that reaches a lot further, right? And I think we have to have more of an abundance mindset, right? That, like, hey, man, like, this game has grown quite a bit in the last 15 years in this country, right? CPL, obviously, we've talked about before. I went to two games already this year, two Calgary games, and, like, it's electric there. Kids are wearing jerseys and scarves, and there's little boys and little girls there running around. There's healthy crowds. I know you want to keep improving the game and we want to keep getting people in seats all across the league, but it's there. I went to a sports store last night to look at – can we do a topic on new boots at some point?
Yes, that's next, 100%.
You want to talk about feeling old? I go, where's the Copas?
Right?
Where could I get the Copa Mundi? Wait, what? They're all synthetic and they've got an ankle sock. Okay. What? I already have socks. I got socks. I'll wear my own sock.
Okay. It makes a huge difference, apparently,
Yeah, huge. I'm sure it does to the crowd I play with. They're going to go, what do you got on? What are you wearing there, bud? But you go up there and they had no Canadian jerseys left. That, like, everything was gone. And I get it. It's a World Cup. People get caught up in it. But I do think there was a pressure on this squad to do well, to at least get into the next round, to do some damage. And not only that, to play with a bit of flair, to go, hey, man, we have players who can score goals. That's important to sell the game going forward, to go, to put that person who's on the fence to convince them that we are a soccer nation. We have a lot of people who play it. I'm on the world stage. We're quite good. The women have already done that, right, to a large extent. And now it is time for the men to kick that door in. There's no doubt about it, because the legacy is depending on it.
I think that's why a lot of people had a problem with your earlier point about Jesse Marsh and his celebrations and how joyful he was, how exuberant he was, because people are like, act like you've been here before. Yes, it's a historic first win, but you've not accomplished. I'm not saying I agree with this.
Right.
Like, this is like what everybody else is saying that didn't love it. You know, yeah, that act like you've been there before and you haven't reached the bar that you've set for yourselves. I think that's where the criticism came from. But I have no problem with it. That like sideline, like, I don't know what he's doing there, Trent. Is he chopping like smoked meat? I'm from Montreal. That's my reference. Like, what is he doing there? Like, come back to that. But like, I love that because I don't think it's about, you know, your analogy about, you know, the former girlfriend with the US and it didn't work out. And now you're showcasing the new gal on your arm and splashing it over Facebook or whatever, you know, current social media you're on, whether
now it's Instagram old dumps, or TikTok. Jesus.
I know I'm not on Facebook, but I kind of am. Yeah, I'm old. But I don't think it's about that. I don't really think it's performative. I don't think Jesse feels like it's about himself. I think he's just celebrating. And I think he's dictating to the guys and making it okay to celebrate the moment, to come back to your conversation, Sharms. It's about the movement. But on the day, it was an emphatic victory where they had to respond to the in-game injury to Ismaël Koné. And they still were, you know, stepped on the throats of the Qataris and still attacked, were still ruthless. So celebrate that. And then you move on to the next thing. You don't need tacit approval from the US or from the haters in Canada who are like, you haven't arrived yet. Well, no kidding. Mm-hmm. But celebrate the moment, because that was a big deal.
I agree. Well put. I feel like the Americans put a joy tariff.
Yeah. That's so good.
We're going to tax that 15%. Are you guys laughing? Are you guys having a good time up there? Yeah, we're going to tax that. It's like, just get up. Just shut up. Just shut up. It's our World Cup too. We're hosting. We had a big win, big result. It's the first time we got a W. It's like, yeah, celebrate. I think you're right. Be in the moment and don't let anyone else dictate your reaction. That was a very American thing to do too.
Yes.
Yeah. How come they're so happy up there? I don't know.
Well, look at Nagelsmann, the German coach, and he reacts and complains about everything, celebrates everything. And then when the Germans scored that late goal, it was like they won the World Cup, and they've been there before. They've won it four times. Yep. So it gives you an idea how big that is and important it is, and it's worth celebrating.
I agree. And I think the thing with Marsh too, like, none of this stuff's in a vacuum, right? Like, the pressure that team was under, all the injuries they had pre-World Cup coming into it, what the lineup is going to be. They get a bit of heat from game one because they wasted some chances. There was a lot on their shoulders, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they felt it. As much as you go, hey, we got a job to do, internalize it, like, that's there. That's there. And you, when you have a performance like that, there's a release. There's a release because you're like, we answered all the questions. Every question that was asked of us, we answered emphatically. So there's anybody who's talking shit about your team or your selections or individual player performance, you deliver like that, yeah, you're going to have some swagger afterwards. So I'm all about it. I think they should all get a horse. Everyone rides around afterwards. And I mean, you go out in the streets with it. I mean, you know what I mean? You'd be, if I was on that team, they'd be like, Trent, we won 5 days ago. You got to stop. You got to come in. We won the game.
Yeah, now you need to tone it down. But so seriously, going back to that, he's like a human meme generator. Like, what was he doing on a sideline? You as a comedian, take that like 3 seconds. What is he doing?
I don't know. It kind of was like, as if like, yeah, we're going in this direction. It was a bit of a Cunha surfing thing from Manchester United. Mm. Like, just kind of, you know, like, I'm doing the thing. I don't know, man. I think you have that release of emotion in that moment. And Lord knows what's going on in his head and what they were thinking individually. But I'm here for it, man. I hope he does a backflip next time. I want to be just the most. I think it should get bigger. That's the other thing, too. Like, I think we should take the feedback and go, oh, you didn't like that? Oh, watch this. We've got pyrotechnics on the sideline. Start the smoke machine. We got, you know. And again, these guys are aware it's only for the day. There's another job to do. Very aware of it. I'm sure they are. But you're here to enjoy the moment and celebrate and be part of it with the fans. That's a large part of it, too, is to pull them in, to bring them on a journey. This is what this whole thing is about. It's not about a quick wave and then get down the tunnel and shower. It's like, dude, this is historic. It's historic. So I'm all about it.
Yeah. Do you know the other thing is, too, when you look at it, everybody's celebrating in their own way. Now, Jesse Marsh goes around and goes 6-0 and celebrating with our fans. But the Norwegians can go sit on a pitch and start rowing. And that's okay. You guys can row all you want.
Yeah.
But you can't say, yes, we scored six.
Yeah, that's enough now, Canada. That's enough. Well, Norway's rowing through here. Just
move back. That's a cultural thing, Jimmy. You know, that's different. You know, it's part of their culture, the rowing. So,
But I do think it's part of that, that Canada has been known as the more reserved. We're polite. We hold the door for others. And I think Jesse Marsh is like, no, we're done with that. We're done with that. That hasn't won us anything on a soccer pitch on the men's side. It's time now. So I agree. Guys, I'll caveat that with Gold Cup champions. I want to preface the, I want to say it did win us things. Don't get me wrong. Don't hang up. Don't walk out again, Jimmy, like you did earlier. I remember. I remember it. It matters. It mattered. But to think, you know, you have to wait a long time for those bigger successes, right? So it's like, yeah, celebrate. This comes 4 years. We may never see another World Cup in Canada in our lifetime. It's another part of it. So there's a lot. There's a lot attached to it.
I think Jesse also has been fighting for respect as a coach because he's an American for a long time, right? He got, at Leeds, for example, he actually did a pretty good job there overall, but he got ridiculed because he's American. And he's now saying, well, now screw you. You know, I'm a very good coach and I'm going to enjoy this while I can. Do you look at this World Cup as a comic? Do you use it for material? Trent, I mean, all these different people from around the world coming in, all these different narratives. I mean, there's got to be a lot there. And do you blend that into your shows, your current tour, or is it all prepared already?
I kind of on this thing, the Be Nice Tour is more about kind of how we've chosen different ways with which we interact with one another. Whereas back in the day, it was quite different. You know, if you got out of line, I mean, there was a certain result as a result.
Consequences.
No one was looking to unpack your feelings. No. Or make sure you, it was like, you did that. I didn't like it, so I'm going to punch you in the head. And that was a typical thing. The cops weren't called. People were just like, he got punched in the head because he said something mean. We're done here. Like that was the end of it. Like it was, and we've gotten too loose nowadays, too loose online, being disrespectful to people because there's no consequences to your actions. So there's a little bit of that in my tour right now in stand-up, but I don't know, man. I get very sentimental about the World Cup because I watched it since I was a child to see all the different countries come together. Everyone is getting along for the most part. You're celebrating all the host nations as well. So it's like, to me, man, it's a beautiful thing. Like I get very defensive of football and soccer because, you know, sometimes people who are hockey guys are like, oh, they're out there rolling around. I'm like, you go off after 45 seconds, dude. When you play hockey, you're out there for 40 seconds and then you can sit down. This guy's out there running around in 35 degree temperatures for an hour and a half. Yeah, he goes down every now and then. You think you would? Do you think you would? So I defend it a little bit, but yeah.
Of course, we do have hydration breaks now, which kind of, you know.
Oh, don't get me started.
Commercial breaks.
Commercial breaks, yeah.
It's four quarters now, basically, right? That's what you're doing. You're kind of planning for that first hydration break. All right, fellas, bring it in. Here's what they're doing. You're going to go over here. Like, that's why I felt really bad the other night when we had the momentum in the Qatar game and then suddenly hydration break and I forgot. I'm like, oh, no, here we go. Like, you know, you got your foot on their throat. You want to keep it going, right? So, yeah, it's been interesting.
I wanted to ask Craig so we could talk about it, though. We were on the dark web last night, and you were asking, doing some research, Craig, about what. Sorry, are you guys hearing that?
Yeah.
It's gone now.
It was a lot of you. It was a lot of you.
We were talking about top 20 results that Canada has because we were playing Switzerland. To make this a little bit about match day minus one, where are we standing for this match day? And then we'll take Trent's take on it too.
Yeah. I mean, we're up against obviously a side, Switzerland, that have players in the top tier leagues, best leagues in the world. And the last time we, outside of US and Mexico, the last time we beat somebody in the top 20, I'm not sure when that is. in a competitive match is probably the Gold Cup against Colombia. I would think. It's been that long. I mean, we don't play against them. We've had some good draws against the French. We played the Dutch. We played
what Gold Cup are we talking about? Your Gold Cup when you won, or the Gold Cup from last summer?
No, 2000.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, outside of Canada or Mexico and the United States. When was the last time we beat somebody in the top 20?
Yeah.
2000.
Other states in the U.S.
The U.S.
Yeah. Yeah. U.S. Yeah.
Outside the U.S. and Mexico.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, I think you're right. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Been a long
time. You, they haven't had a chance to play that many teams because generally speaking, the top teams don't want to play Canada. You're not playing in tournaments outside Copa America once. You're not playing against them in tournaments often. And as far as friendly is concerned, it's not like England are saying, can we please play Canada? At least maybe that'll change now with us getting respect, right? But yeah, it doesn't happen often.
But wasn't Uruguay? Didn't we beat Uruguay on pens? They would have been in the top 20.
Yeah, Craig. but it's a valid point, though. It's very rare. And I think we are dismissing the Swiss team right now. They're an excellent team. And like Craig mentioned, their players are playing in the top leagues around Europe. We have what? Is it top leagues? You said four, right, Craig? I think you said.
Yeah, there'll be four of our guys probably in top leagues. Yeah. It just gives you an idea what we're up against. It's a different task than we've seen in the first two games against Bosnia and Qatar. It's a real test. Not to say we can't do it, and we're playing at home, makes a big difference, but it is a different animal.
I wonder, too, that – I don't know if you guys can speak to this, too, but when you have a game that comes off the rails like the last game did and you're playing up two men – to now go into a game that's highly competitive with, you assume, 11v11 for 90 minutes. Like, there is a mental switch too. The adrenaline and everything that was released from the last game, you got to kind of refocus. And now we have a stiffer opponent. The game itself is going to be very different. So how quickly can they adjust to, like, oh, we're on a new day here. This is a new set of circumstances. So I think it'll be a tougher challenge, no doubt about it. It's going to be a tougher test, but I think they can get the job done. If you said, hey, we can finish top of the group and we're at home and we're playing Switzerland, I think they would take that. They would go, okay.
Yeah. They only need a draw.
Yeah. You need a draw against Switzerland at home at BC Place in front of a packed crowd. You mentally, as an athlete, you should be, I'll take that.
Okay. Yeah, I think, too, what Forrest is saying, I think with all of the discussion around Canada and how we've grown into the tournament, yes, it's a small sample size. It's only the two matches in the group. But you understand that you're going up against a team that knows how to play tournament football. So you walk into that, your eyes wide open. But you also, to your point, Trent, like if you've presented this to the players, they would be rearing to go up to the challenge, knowing that what they have to do in order to stay in Vancouver, get 7 days rest versus, I think if they finish third in the group, they'll play Sunday. They'll be the team almost on the shortest amount of rest or the least amount of rest and the shortest turnaround to start the knockouts, which is crazy. But what has also built is the support, going back to the moment versus a movement. Like the fans that showed out at Toronto Stadium / BMO, the energy and the vibe in BC Place, I mean, that was palpable even through a screen. I was at Canada House. I'm sure in Calgary you could feel it, or maybe you can talk about like the vibe and the buzz on the ground. But the team now knows that that's what they're walking into. That's going to be backing them in the toughest moments versus a team that is battle tested in Switzerland that have quality up and down the roster. And they're really going to get tested in a way they have not yet been in this tournament. But I mean, you know that you really do have a home crowd. So like Forrest and Jimmy, you guys never had that. I never had that playing in Canada. So this is a really special time that I think this team is going to really fully embrace.
Well, yes.
Well, correct. This is like two pods in a row where I've said stuff, and I think my internet has gone out because there's no reaction from anybody.
I know. By the way, Dubs, I should mention Uruguay beat Canada on penalties at Copa.
Oh, sorry. So, what was the tournament?
The Venezuela match, right?
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
They're not top 20.
No.
No, but they're a decent team, though. Absolutely.
I think the thing with this World Cup, too, is that Canada's got to deal with expectations for the first time, that you're kind of expected to get to the next round. You're expected to beat Qatar. It's like that's a different weight to carry around when you have expectations on your shoulder, right? So, but these guys, like I said, they've got a swagger about them, and I think they're ready for it. I think they're ready for that moment.
Carl Lahren was asked yesterday about that, about how do you feel, you know, being just a point away from winning the group, you know, how am I? He goes, no, this is where we knew it'd be. We expected to be here. Sure. And yeah. I love that answer. We the media and certainly the fans are saying, get out of the group, that's success. And I think it probably is when we look back on this World Cup, no matter what happens.
Yep.
But the team's always said from day one, they've said, we're going to win the group. That's the goal. Win the group. Let's stay in Vancouver as long as possible.
Yep.
And quite honestly, that 7 or 8 days between games is, at this point in the tournament, is huge, especially for this team. I'm watching yesterday, four players were under doing fitness testing, not testing, but a fitness session. Moise Bembido, Promise David, Joel Waterman, and my brain stops right now. But anyway, regardless, these guys were running hard because they haven't played minutes yet, or many minutes. And watching Moise out there, he was going full out. And him and Promise were like neck to neck. It was a great race, such a sprint. It was cool to watch.
I saw that. You posted it, right?
It wasn't me. Someone else posted it, I think.
Okay, yeah. But for a big man, I know we're looking at Moise and we're scrutinizing his movements, because when we saw him in Uzbekistan, like it did not look good, right? He's a guy that didn't look ready, and we thought he's not making this roster. But now he's had the benefit of time. But you see him go up against Promise for a big man. Boy, does he ever get moving fast.
The earth shakes. The whole ground was
so
like,
impressive. Oh,
what's that? And it's Promise flying by.
Yeah,
it's impressive. By the way, you know, we had the argument about calluses and bone calluses
on the bone.
Moise has a lump on his shin from that broken leg. It's like, Jesus, it looks painful. Yeah. But that is generally how shins heal. I understand that. But just noticing that yesterday. But he was speaking very well yesterday too, Trent Moyes. And do you think, is there a world where Moyes starts tomorrow, given that he hasn't played, hasn't started a game for a long time? He's the best defender. He's sprinting well. And Luke and Derek Cornelius are playing really very well together.
Yeah, I don't know if it'd be a start tomorrow, but maybe some minutes if the game is well in hand, you know, where it's one of those things you kind of ease them into it. You don't want to put someone in a situation that they might not be ready for and it all falls apart. So I just don't know if you want to put that pressure on his shoulders right out the gate. But I think they have guys, too, who are chomping at the bit, right, to get in there and be a part of it. You're at home. You're at a World Cup. You're sitting there on the bench. You take the warm-up. And now you're just sitting on that bench for a while. You're constantly glazing over at Marsh every now and then, like, hey, remember how I'm on the team? Remember? Just saying. I'm just saying, dude. Go ahead. Yeah. Do what you're doing. I'm just putting it out there. Like, you want to be on the pitch and get minutes. So, you know, and these teams, you guys know, like, it's all about what you believe in-house. Like, the rest of it's all noise. What anyone else's expectation is, all that stuff. The rest of it's all noise. You have your own goals. You know how you want to go about it. So, I would love to see him get some minutes, but hopefully it's a situation where the game is well in hand and they feel like we can put him in and kind of ease him into it. So I think that's important.
Jimmy, yellow cards. There's three to defenders right now. DC, Alistair, and see, it's early in the morning. The brain's not quite ticking over right now. Someone else.
Is Richie
No, Richie hasn't. No, it's Alistair. It's DC. And Luke. Is Luke in a yellow card?
Luke. Yeah,
I think he is.
Luke.
So at what point, if you're Jesse Marsh, do you worry about yellow cards and your selection, or is this more in-game management regarding yellow cards?
You're worried right now. Absolutely. You are going into this match, and you'll be talking to your defenders, say, hey, play physical, but be smart. Don't get sucked into any altercations. Don't do anything stupid. Just play your game. And it's difficult, too, because as a player, You want to play physical. You want to be on that front foot and closing down hard and playing that aggressive style. But you've got to keep in the back of your mind, I got to be careful here. You know, I can't go in as hard as I would like to because I can't afford to get a yellow. But nothing else can change. I mean, you still got to stick to your game plan, still stick to your identity. But it will definitely be in the player's back of mind, that's for sure.
We know we have some new listeners. Sorry, and I'm going to ask this question. A second yellow card after an initial, when you're on one after successive games, is it a red, or is it just a yellow and you miss the next game? Sorry, I'm confused on how it's dubs. Anybody?
Well, there was a second amnesty period that was added after the group stage. And so that's after quarters is still there. And so you've added it, but I think it only wipes a single one. So if like the players who are already on yellows now, if they pick up another one versus Switzerland, to the best of my ability, at least, then they would have to miss the round of 32 game. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jimmy and Craig?
Yes, yes. Single yellow card received in the group stage does not carry over the round of 32.
Right, that will get wiped.
All players begin the knockout rounds with zero cards. Mm-hmm. After the quarterfinals, all previous yellow cards are wiped again.
That's and if someone would get a yellow during the match, let's say 15 minutes in, you can continue playing.
Okay.
You're missing the round of 32 against Korea or whoever it's going to be, and it could be Korea. Okay. It should be we won't speculate as to Korea's formation.
Well, if they win it could be Algeria, no?
Yeah, this is if they win it.
Algeria or Austria.
I mean the permutations. This World Cup, 48 teams, Trent. These guys love it now. They say it's great. Oh yeah, best thing ever. I still hate it. Because it's clunky, but we're seeing some great stories. It's about the romance, according to Jimmy. Ah, the stories are lovely. Ah, good old Curacao, Cape Verde, you know? What do you think? Do you like it?
I don't mind it. Again, I'm a bit of a romantic football-wise, you know? It's like you want these countries to get there and try and shock the world, and it is the world game. So why not bring everybody? I say let everyone qualify.
Don't do it.
I say we let everyone qualify. Dude.
They do. It's called qualifying.
No, everyone qualifies for the World Cup. I mean, it's every country in the world. Like, make a true World Cup for doing it, you know?
Okay, so how you do it is you have these regional competitions in Europe and Africa and North America and Asia, and they all play together, and a number of those teams then go to the next round called the World.
Wow, I'm feeling a bit of snark from you over there. Jimmy, you picking up on that? That's like,
I get it. It's every day.
I know. We're desensitized to the snark. That's why.
You get a man out of bed here. You get a man out of bed at 6:30 in the morning, Calgary time here. And
I know. It's tough. It's tough.
I don't know. I love those stories. I love the Cinderella stories. I love the partying in the streets afterwards. And again, imagine how we felt as Canadians watching the gap, you know, and the amount of years that went by before we got back to a World Cup. So for these countries, these smaller countries, to be here at the big dance and actually get a result, like, you know what that means for those countries, you know, where that are going through, you know, challenging circumstances, you know, politically, or it just, I don't know. To me, I'm all about it, man. It's like, let's go. I get it. It can be chunky and it's all that stuff, but I love it. I love it.
Can we talk about something controversial, Sharms?
No.
Doku leaving?
Oh, Doku? Okay.
Yeah. So what's your take there, Trent? And then the rest of the crew can jump in.
Look, man, anybody who's been married, I mean, that's the first thing. Who are we talking to? Who's pissed off about it? Are you married? No. Okay. Shut up. You don't need to be out here chiming with your single thoughts. We don't need it. Mm-hmm. Man's wife's having a baby. You get your ass on the plane. You go to your wife's having a baby. I don't even know how we're debating this. I don't even know how we're debating it. I get it's a World Cup. It's like his son for the rest of his life is going to be like, Daddy, what was it like when I was born? I don't know, man. I was on the left wing overlapping. I was trying to get a cross into the box while your mother's water broke. I was trying to cut one back the penalty spot area. What? You weren't there for, like, this is the rest of your life and your relationship with your son or daughter. Like, I can't
all
believe
it. All right, Trent, but what if Belgium win the World Cup?
Yeah, man. I mean, everyone gets a trophy. He's like, I got this thing. Isn't that great? You can go in the streets with a kid, like, hey, doing moves, whatever. I don't know, man. I think you got to look at yourself in the mirror. And I mean, you know, this is family first to me. This is a no-brainer. And I get it, man. When I played, like, I don't know if you guys had this, but like, I was kind of fiery when I played, like in the very vocal in the dressing room. And I was like, in the game itself, I had to talk out loud to like other players to keep me in the game, if that makes sense. So I was like overly vocal, and any call I was making, the referee would just look at me. I'm like, no, it's not for you, man. That's just me. That's just me. Anyway, but I question other guys' intensity, because if they weren't like me, I was like, how much does that person care if they're not doing the same things I'm doing? Then you get older and you realize everyone has their own approach. right? So it's like, I don't know if you can't question a guy's commitment to his family and wanting to be there for that. That's like, I get it. It's a World Cup. It might be, you know, your best wing back, but hey, man, like there's other things bigger than football. So.
And FYI, he's back on Tuesday. So right. It's not like it was a match.
No, he's gone.
Are you sure?
Yeah, yesterday.
It's saying, I'm getting an update from, so he's done for good. You can't come back.
That was yesterday's news. That was his message, his video message.
Oh.
I'm leaving camp. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just thought of this, guys. How much credit does he get for the rest of his life?
Oh my God.
Yeah, he can hold that
over her head for years.
Hey, I'm going to Vegas with the boys. Yeah. Remember when I left the World Cup? Remember? Yeah, I got the golf clubs. I'm heading to Vegas. Like,
yep.
He's got, he fact,
I'm going to Vegas by myself.
It could be as simple as, I need a sandwich right now. Get me a sandwich. Like, well, it could be that simple.
He did leave the World Cup, Joanne. So I mean, his life is brilliant. It's brilliant.
I would love to know what's going on in his head. Like, just holding the baby, watching the game, going,
oh, yeah, I know.
Oh my God.
It's going to be tough,
man.
Just changing a diaper. Being shit on pistol over. I could be in LA right now playing in a World Cup quarterfinal.
Maybe I made a mistake.
He gets there. At like 3 a.m. on diaper duty, he's going to think that 100%.
He gets there, the wife is healthy and just asleep, the baby's healthy and just asleep, and he's just standing there. Like you're both just going to sleep? You're both just going to sleep the whole time?
Yeah. I wonder if he puts his kid on. I bet he's got his kid on and boots and everything, just sitting there.
Yeah. Oh, a little mini Belgium kit on it, like just taking the piss. Like, oh, really? Yeah. You're really doing this now?
Mm-hmm. He hasn't taken his first steps yet? He hasn't said a word yet? Oh, God.
Well, what about the Norwegian coach, Shortbecken, yesterday? He won a huge game. The first thing he does, he runs to the stands. He finds his wife or his girlfriend, gives her a big kiss and a hug. It's like, again, major points.
Dude,
he is definitely getting some action last night. And if he didn't,
can't believe he did that. Can't believe he did that. It's a disgrace.
You know, the assistant coach, their partners are like, nothing. I got nothing from you.
I know.
Right.
Hey, really?
He ran and went to, and really? You knew where we were sitting. Mm-hmm. We were sitting right next to. Okay. So these guys, you got to be thinking about multiple things at all times, right? I mean, this is, you're making decisions, I mean, the rest of your life. But oh no, Doku, he's got an ace up his sleeve for the rest of his life. He's like, he's got a visa with no limit for the rest of his life.
And you know, the assistants would be pissed too when he came back.
Yeah.
Well done, idiot. Thanks for that.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah. You couldn't give us a heads up on that? You couldn't give me a heads up on that?
Saw the other wags there, just standing there looking like uncomfortable, like, also, this is nice.
Hey, oh, that's
Dave,
so funny.
Dave, I'm over here too. Like, anyway, listen, Trent, listen, we're out of time. Thank you so much for this, mate. How can people find you and tell us more about the tour?
Yeah, man. You can find me at trentscomedy.com, hitting the road, back on tour this weekend. Playing Fort McMurray in Kelowna, going to Kelowna, man. This is going to be awesome. And then a bit of a break. We just bought a house. So I'm like, I'm in the midst of packing boxes, trying to watch the World Cup and get ready for the tour. So, but I thought, you know, the Footy Prime folks have called and, you know, I just got to put a shift in, you know, and believe myself, a lot of character in this room, obviously. And, you know, obviously we got to band together here and get a job done. So, yeah. Thanks for having me on, and appreciate you bringing up my age and elderly topics right at the gate. I appreciate that, and I owe you one.
And where can people come out and watch you play?
People come out to the Glenmore Athletic Park. Capacity is about, I would say, about 15,000 right now. We've had two small kids on bikes rode by at one point, so that was pretty cool. They didn't stop. They just kept on riding. But
They gave you the bird.
They're like, what are these old? Is this senior citizen soccer? What's going on? And, you know, we chased them away with sticks, but it was good. And I don't think it's televised, Jimmy, if that's what you're asking. We don't have a television contract just yet, but we're working on that.
One soccer needs content, just so you know.
Yeah.
We are Footy Prime, you know?
Yeah. We're working with Nun Soccer, and they're. They're like, I don't see any soccer. This is just
that's a great. I might use that line.
Something.
Old guys that's swearing good. And limping. Yeah. That's what that's this is.
Yeah, he's got a Sharpie in his sock just in case somebody shows up.
It's been there for years. It's probably dried out by now. Trent, thank you so much, mate. I really appreciate it.
Cheers, man. Go Canada.
Thanks, Trent.
Thanks, Trent.
Thanks, Trent.
That's Trent McClellan, legend, a friend of the show. That was great. That was great. All right, let's play some footy picks here, JC. Let's roll in the opener while I frantically try and find some.
DJ Mello D. It's 40 picks.
Yeah.
All right, keep talking. I've got to find this. I've got to load up my BetMGM app here.
JC, well, you should always play the song that way. Start it with the end first, and then get into it.
I wanted to say something, and I should have said it earlier, but we know what Jesse Marsh was doing with his moves. Mm. He was paying tribute to a young Craig Forrest.
Oh,
judo chop, judo chop, judo chop.
Oh. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I thought
there's no such thing as a judo chop.
I thought he was spinning the ones and twos. I thought, remember we did Get to Know Me with him, and he loved all the 80s music and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I thought he was like playing the ones and twos, like mixing when that started happening. That's what it reminded me of. Just, I know we all have our own
DJ J Marsh.
Yeah. And I before we were talking about Ronaldo, there's one tweet that really caught me, and it was Mehdi Hassan, who's a political pundit. He said, all of the modern greats are at this World Cup. Messi, Mbappe, Holland, Salah, Kane, and all of them are scoring great goals except one. And then Oxymoron said, when I was little, I always wanted to play like Ronaldo, but now he plays like me. So it was one of those ones where you're just like, oh, that caught me off guard.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yes.
And do you say pundit?
There we go. Pundit. Pundit? What did I say?
I think you said pundit.
Okay, let's cross that
out. You know why? Because you're used to using the word pedant.
Yes.
You combined it. Right. That's
the way I think.
That's called a portmanteau. Thank you.
I'm having an issue. My app is my phone is dying. I can't upload my app right now. My BetMGM app. If somehow, here we go. Futures. Here we go. Okay, bear with me here. Tournament winner. France is still the favorites, by the way. If those that care. Okay, top goal scorer. Mm. Who do you think it is? Who's the favorite?
Messi.
Nope. Mbappe.
There you go. Both. You co-favorites, Mbappe and Messi. Haaland is your third favorite, and Harry Kane is fourth. And there's a big jump from there to the next favorite, which is right now Mikel Oyarzabal of Spain, who found his form at the right time. So there you have it. No surprise, really, that Mbappe and Messi are your joint co-favorites to win the Golden Boot.
Is John David on that, on three goals? Has he made the list?
Good question. I don't see John David. Let's see how far down he goes. I guess it's about how far.
34-1.
Yeah, 34-1. So he is above Florian Balogun, above Michael Olise, above Marcus Rashford, Isaac, Crescencio Somerville, who's had a great World Cup so far. Yeah, so he's in the mix.
I like it.
A lot of that comes down to the fact that they think that he's going to play less games, right?
Sure.
Right.
Exactly. Match day minus one. Jesse Marsh's press conference is at 1 p.m. Western time today. So we'll see. Is there any questions you think we should ask him? Not about Alfonso. Please don't anyone ask about Alfonso, because we're not going to get an answer.
Yeah.
It's a wasted question. It's a shorter press conference often. Don't waste your questions, media. Don't ask about Alfonso, because he won't give you an answer. Sorry, yes. Wonga.
Oh no, I'm not. I was saying 1 minute.
Oh, 1 minute.
What's top of mind for me, Sharms, is like what you asked Jimmy, and we kind of talked about with Trent, just about managing the players on cards and the back line and what he does with Moyes and his minutes. Does he see him starting the way that they did with Ali, where we were unsure about how much or how many minutes Ali Ahmed could give the team, but he started versus Qatar. And I think that was a huge lift to the team and a huge reason why they were so menacing on the attack. And then Mathieu Chouinard, who is a more important depth piece now and will surely see some minutes as the tournament continues. Mm-hmm. How does he get utilized in the middle of the park?
I think a big question too, it's not so much about Moyes and Luke, but maybe Moyes and DC, because Luke's playing so well. Does Moyes replace DC, in fact, in the line? Yep. Anyway, listen, we're out of time. I'm getting Wonga's finger gestures right now. Thank you so much. Hit the like, hit the subscribe. We're back tomorrow. Enjoy the games, everyone. Bye-bye.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG and on Twitter at @Footy_Prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Any finger gestures you do, Wonger, are always offensive.
Thank you.
Why? You know, okay sign, but I still feel violated.
Ow, my Wonger's finger.
Cubs feel violated by my finger sign.
What?
Wait a second.
Like.